for purposes of national security, the following dialogue from Jerry Allen has been redacted.
You've got a funny voice.
What has inspired that voice? Yeah, it is. I like voices like that where, like, it's just on the yodel. Yes. Yes. Well, I saw him the other day and I thought, well, what's she wearing now? Go for it. Don't play that song again.
I can't. It's just, I'm having a terrible, terrible time with technology. I hope it's working now. I hope that...
I'm sure it will be. For clarity, listeners, there was no national security emergency. Jerry just, her computer deleted her side of the conversation. Yeah. And actually, we've started the podcast a couple of times since. And it keeps deleting it. So we think we've cracked it. We think this... is the version that you'll hear.
You will hear. God, my computer's just being a sassy bitch and just going, nope, sorry, not recording it, don't care. But yeah, so hopefully we're up and rolling now. Let's get cracking with the rest of the show. Should we go parish notices?
Let's do some parish notices.
Let's do it.
I think that Gina
Parish notices.
Oh God, we started to lose it. We haven't even started. Right, parish notices. So, our first notice is that the Dutch government have confirmed that a maximum of 3,500 spectators will be allowed inside the Ahoy Arena in Rotterdam for Eurovision 2021.
Ahoy!
Ahoy! Now, you see, that's already gone. The Portuguese did Ahoy, didn't they? Or All Aboard or something. It was All Aboard, wasn't it? So that's 20% of capacity. Tickets are available, but only to those who purchase tickets for Eurovision 2020. There will be no general public sale, but sales will start on the 8th of May, which is Saturday coming, at 12 CET for those what did have tickets booked for the last Eurovision, the one that got cancelled.
Oh, lucky them.
Lucky them. So let's, fastest fingers, hopefully they'll get in there and there'll be a lucky 3,500 there. Better than no one.
Yeah, exactly. It is better than no one. And hopefully it'll be a cracking show. But yeah, it's going to be weird, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, as far as I know, Australia is still the only country that is invoked the live to tape protocol. If you have like half a dozen countries that are sort of phoning it in, as it were, as well, it'll be different, but hopefully fun. And I think everyone is just going to be grateful that it's happening. As much as everybody loved watching Fantasy Eurovision last year for 17 minutes. I think everyone's glad that the real thing is back.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if anyone else will end up not going, because it's such a changing situation all the time at the moment.
Yes. Like, because Italy went back into lockdown, didn't they?
Yep.
And so
France?
I think I heard that France are on their way back out of their lockdown. Yeah. So, but who knows?
Because I heard an interesting thing the other day, because they were saying, you know, we're all coming out of lockdown and we're at the lowest, but actually in the world, coronavirus is at its peak.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so we're sort of oblivious of it because we're coming out the other side. But actually, that I think they were sort of saying about being cautious and don't just all slip off around the world thinking that it's like this everywhere, because it's not.
No.
Well, look at poor India. I wonder how many. Well, yeah, exactly. So I wonder if it will, you know, how it's going to change in the next couple of weeks, because we're only 2 and a bit weeks away.
Yeah, so it's two weeks today till semi-final one. 2 weeks today till semi-final one. At the time of recording.
Yes, yes. Well, that's. I'm glad they'll have an audience there, though.
Yeah, and a bit of Atmos.
Yeah, and judging by the show they did, Europe Shine a Light, they'll be fine with minimal audience, because they'll just sing along, have a lovely time.
Yeah.
Getting what's her name? Nikki something or other.
I don't know. I've totally erased her. I know who you mean, though. Yeah. Afton Cooper, I call her in my head. So
yeah, yeah.
She can just read out random tweets. Afton Cooper. I wonder if they will... I just come up with another great idea. Guys, EBU, take my ideas. They should pre-tape some of the audience reactions. A bit like that episode of Friends, where Monica and Ross did the pre-tape for the Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve.
Yes!
I would love to be a pre-tape dancer.
Should we just start submitting videos via Instagram and just tag them and go, please put us in, and we'll just like shoot ourselves in various scenarios, and they can pick whichever one fits best, and just pop us in the audience, you know.
Yeah, hashtag self-dubbed it. Yeah. I've done weirder things on self-tapes than that, so.
Well, yes, as we discussed, we started sending each other our self-tapes this week. That was fun. And then trying to...
Yes, I sent Jerry the one where I got out the window. She sent me the one where she wrecks her laptop.
Yes. So yeah, any I get from now on, I'm just going to send on and go, guess what this is for?
Oh, I did an insane one the other night. Okay, I'm going to send it to you. I did an insane one where I had to pretend that I was being chased around my living room by imaginary mosquitoes.
Oh my God. I mean,
you know, when you watch it back and sometimes you're like, hey, I think I might get this job. That's pretty good. And sometimes you watch it back and you're like, I can't believe I've got to send this and other people have to watch it. It's one of those.
I can't believe. But they're the ones that you get.
Yeah, weirdly.
They're the ones that you just go, oh, I can't believe I've had to do this. And then they're like, yes, definitely. Don't even need to recall you. You're in.
That's what we're looking for. You, sir. I'm like, really?
Yeah, please send me that.
I will.
Yes.
Right. Item number two. The Eurovision Song Contest, which is proudly apolitical, has teamed up with the Worldwide Fund for Nature, WWF, not wrestling. So they have joined forces to demand action is taken to save our planet. Sharing Eurovision's passion for international cooperation, the WWF works in nearly 100 countries. And this is the press release bar. So they talk about the WWF. We all know where the WWF is.
Yeah.
Not wrestling.
So,
at its heart, the Eurovision Song Contest has always been about using your voice the best way you can. That's some wonderfully written copy. we're encouraging fans to use theirs to speak up for nature. Sign up at hashtag voicefortheplanet or voicefortheplanet.eu.
Well, that's
so
nice.
I don't know. What do they want us to sing at trees or something? I guess go on the website and find out.
I'd quite like David Attenborough to do our entry for Eurovision.
He'd win.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Just mega mix him. And here we see, and here we see, here, and here we see.
Challenge accepted. Oh, that's nice, though. Well done. Well done, them. Let's save the planet and put some cracking songs out into Europe.
And then the last bit of parish notice is I've been doing a bit of James Newman stalking. Because
are you outside his house now?
Yes. James. So there's an interview with him that came out yesterday, and also he's released an acoustic version of the song. So I thought we could chat about his thoughts in the interview, and then we could listen to the acoustic song, which I've not listened to. I've saved it so we can listen to it.
Yeah, I haven't listened to it.
Together. And then that would bleed us nicely into What Should James Newman Do, Man?
Yes. Well, let's do that.
So I'm going to pick out some quotes from his interview and we can discuss them. So, he thinks he's nailed the song this year, explaining the idea is to get onto the left-hand side of the board after the UK came stone dead last in 2019. The writer of this article is not a Eurovision fan.
No.
Nailed the song?
I mean, let's be honest, even if he had nailed the song... And this is nothing to do with politics, but I doubt we would finish left-hand side of the table because it's very subjective about what nailing the song means and the zeitgeist of what's going on. I like his song. I like the song that we're putting in this year, but the few that I've listened to, I don't think it's left-hand side of the table.
No.
Unless the way that they are formatting the table is just one column, and then he's left hand side of the table, but you know he's got to say that though, hasn't he? I guess.
Absolutely, I think that he's managing expectations. He's not going there going, we're going to smash it. We're going to win. Hopefully left hand side.
Yeah, he can't come in and go, well, hopefully bottom three. He's not going to say, hopefully we won't be last.
Yeah, if we could come maybe third to last, that would be a win. I mean, it would be a win.
Wouldn't it?
That being said, Lucy Jones came left-hand side of the table, I think.
Yes.
And that was only a few years ago. And all she had was a great song. And it was staged without cheesy backing singers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's amazing the power of just some slightly more inventive staging and a well-written song.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
So you never know.
Yeah, that was one of the greatest that we've done in this era of Eurovision, which we'll come on to at another episode. I've lost the ability to speak. I was just emerging. I lost consonants then, and it was just all vowels. Oh, yes. What else did he say?
He said that he's accepted... in brackets, the idea of not having the full experience, because obviously he didn't think it was going to happen. But it's definitely a great thing that we're getting to go. I did some filming with Ryland the other day, and he said it's so fun when it's all normal and there's all these parties happening and there's all people performing and the whole city is buzzing. So I'm not going to get that experience, but I feel like half bad experience is better than zero.
And also, I think he might do better because, you know, Michael Rice was out on the lash with Sarah from Ireland and Scott Mills and Rylan.
Let's just take a moment to remember Sarah from Ireland.
Still.
22.
That's the thing that I show anyone to, if they're kind of like, oh, you do a Eurovision podcast. Oh, like, what kind of stuff do you do? And I'm just like, just watch this. And that is basically that energy is our podcast.
Don't worry, babe, I got this. Whoa.
It's my favourite thing. It really is.
It's up there. Do you know, it's up there. I think it is better than the fainting backing singer. Oh no, the fainting backing singer.
Oh, but it gets
so good.
Me.
And no one talks about that. I feel like we're the only ones that have ever noticed it. You know, like when people are like, oh, the funniest moments ever in Eurovision. It never comes up.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the guy died and that's why nobody talks about it. And
they're like, God, pariahs.
They're like, God, there's this British podcast that keeps talking about that poor backing singer laughing at him.
Oh, they brought out another YouTube video. Get it banned. They're awful. Oh, they put something on Instagram. Get it taken off.
Get it taken off.
Evil people.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's all bloody political. That's what it is. Yes, I mean, you would. This is why we're not in this year, because we wanted the full Eurovision experience.
Yes, so we've ducked out.
Yeah, so we'll be there next year to get the full experience.
Yeah, he said other things. He said other things as well, but it wasn't very interesting. And most of it was the writer of the article being disparaging. I think my favourite disparaging thing they do is Eurovision Week. Yes, our whole week dedicated to the contest gets underway this... Whatever. Whatever. You don't have to watch it.
Yeah, you don't have to watch it. And this is what... And we've discussed this at length previously, but I have to bring it up again. This is what really annoys me about the people that they've picked to present semi-finals in the past, who are so disparaging. They had that expert on 2 years ago who was amazing, and he was talking about who would do well and like that, and they were kind of not even looking at him. They'd look down at a clipboard and then they'd make some disparaging remark about Eurovision fans. And it's like, you know that the people watching this are huge Eurovision fans. If you're just a sort of fair weather Eurovisioner, if that's a thing, you don't watch the semi-finals. You just come in for the final.
You're not on BBC Four on a Tuesday night at 10 o'clock in the evening watching a semi-final of Eurovision.
No, you're living your life.
you're out taking drugs and wearing short skirts. But if you're a Euro geek, you're at home on Twitter going, fucking hell, listen to this.
What's the code for Azerbaijan? Hashtag AZE.
AZE, AZE.
That's what you
do. They've changed it. It's AZB this year. Oh, God.
Well, do you know what? He has... Let's go watch his acoustic cover of his own song. Is that a thing? Acoustic yeah. version.
Apparently, yeah. The acoustic mix. And yes. We'll report back. And who knows? Maybe it'll be better than what we're actually going to be putting in. Maybe
it will. Let's go have a look. I feel it heated up. There's still a chance for us. Down here in the ashes, yeah, there's something glowing. Out of the embers, you and I gonna light up the room. Yeah, you and I gonna light. Well, firstly, I would just like to dispute that that is an acoustic version. So I just had to check, but an acoustic, like musical term, is not having electrical amplification.
Correct.
So, yes, they had a piano, but they also had keyboards, electric guitar, his microphone. So
yeah,
that's not acoustic.
Not very acoustic.
No.
Plus Preston.
Plus Preston from Ordinary People. Was it Ordinary People? Or
Ordinary
whatever?
Boys?
Ordinary Boys, that's the one. God, I sounded like my mum. Ordinary People, I think, was what it was called. I had high hopes because I thought it could be really beautiful, and it was beautiful, but it didn't do anything different. All they did was take the horn section out, which is probably one of the best bits, and then... And then just have that on the piano going, dan, 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 like on the piano, and then have a shaker instead of any drums or anything.
And actually what it did, it exposed the biggest problem with the main song, which is that it don't go nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about this before. It has first bass. This is great. Liking this. Second bass with the horns. Awesome. That's it. We stop.
Yeah.
No, there isn't even a Eurovision key change.
But also, it's sort of disguised a little bit in the actual version of the song. But in this one, it also really exposed how bored the backing vocals sounded. I know they were trying to make it all soft and nice, but them going, it just sounded like they were sort of half-heartedly going,
that was an amazing impression.
I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying to be nicer this year.
I just don't understand.
But it's hard because I also have a strong aversion to people doing versions of songs or covers of songs, and I know it's not a cover because it's his own song, which are pointless. Like there was no point to that, because it still wasn't like some guy sitting there with an acoustic guitar and him singing this beautiful thing and then just the two of them doing some nice harmonies on the chorus bit. It was still him singing with exactly the same arrangement. They just took out the horns, but the arrangement was the same.
And I appreciate why they've done it. You know, the idea is it's clickbait, and basically they get people to go, ooh, and they watch it. And then, of course, people are listening to the song again, and it's all part of the promo. And yeah. I mean, yay, at least we're actually doing that this year. But the problem is that you still need it to be substantively good.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're going to click on it and be like, oh, it's a bit dull.
But also, it's just confused me about what the song is. Like, because when at least the video and how it was before with the horns and it was sort of exciting and it was about rising out of the embers. Whereas if you've just got that, what are they doing? Like crawling out? Crawling out of the embers. Dragging their burnt, charred carcasses out of the embers is what that song.
Covered in ash.
Yeah, is that what that said to me? They could have done a really... It's like they just got together and it's like having a rehearsal pianist that just came in and is playing that before you get the full band work up. And I don't see the point. Don't see the point. Yeah. Sorry.
No. Rejected. Right. Well, that leads us very nicely into what should James Newman do, man?
Yes.
Now, should we try and record a different version of this? It's taken us till episode 4 for this season. Should we do it to the plinky plonky acoustic piano?
Yes.
All right. Yes, let's see how this goes. How are we going to do it? We're separate. We've never recorded one of these separately. I don't know if we're going to pull this off. Let's try.
Where are we starting? What's our first note?
Are we stopping? Or
yeah, let's stop. Let's stop and practice.
Oh no! Let them hear our process. Fine. Let's just keep recording.
Let's just keep recording.
You set the note. You're the musical one, and I'll just.
So I think the horns went da 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 is what it does.
Up here. This is I can't. I'm laughing.
Yeah. That's it.
Whoa, it's quite high, Geraldine. I'm in falsetto.
Do you want to take it down the octave? I've heard that about you.
What should James do? Our voice, it doesn't sit well. It doesn't sit in the same place in our voices, clearly.
What if we did the backing vocals? You know, where they just go, so we just go, what should James Newman do, man?
Okay. Yeah, let's just do that.
Okay, just a one note.
Yeah, like Les Mis rejects.
Okay.
Count us in.
Okay. A 3, 2, 1.
What should James Newman do?
I think we should record this separately. I think I might be delayed on your phone. I think that's
going on. It's too hard when we're separate. Let's just leave this in as a failed attempt, and we'll play the old jingle. We'll do a new jingle when we're back together physically. 17th of May.
I've enjoyed this process.
We're normally much better than this. Anybody you know wants to give us a job where we have to sing. We can sing. We're good at it. We get paid to sing all the time.
All the time.
In fact, we met, we're well off now. We met doing a show together, and I had the most fun harmony. We did in one of the songs on the show. We did was a cover of Firework.
Yes.
And my harmony on the chorus, like, it sets you up. You're like, because you're doing this big dance routine. You're like, God, I'm gonna have so much fun. I feel like a pop star. And I'm. Firework. Watch it burn. Ha ha ha. Ha 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 ha. That was my line. Whilst doing the most energetic dance. Baby, you're a firework.
Oh, I can't remember what mine was.
I remember the dance. I'm literally doing it in my office.
I've probably still... Yeah, because we had the whole windmill, you know, the rainbow windmill thing, which is my favourite dance move ever. I've probably still got it on my phone in a voice note. I might search.
Oh, God, yeah, me too, probably.
If I can find it. If I can find it, I'll put it on. right, should we play the previous thing?
Play the old jingle, get on with the show.
Yeah, let's do it.
What should James Newman do?
Man!
Okay, so what I haven't done is come up with anything.
No.
For this segment. What should he do? Tell us.
Well, first of all, he needs to get himself a song partner like you or I that will just riff some songs at him.
We're not in a position of strength right now.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think he should try and confuse the theme of the song by doing an acoustic version. He's already done it, but he should step away from that, distance himself from it, and go back to just get himself a nice horn section and get back to that. That's what we want.
Or invent a time machine, go back, don't do it.
Yes. Yes, that's it. Invent a time machine.
At the very least, release a retraction.
And an apology. Yeah, that's what
I apologise for anybody I offended and any hurt that was caused by the acoustic version.
Which isn't even acoustic. Isn't even acoustic. I think that's solid advice that he should and needs to follow. So
yes.
Get on to that, James Newman.
James, you're welcome.
Shall we pop in a little sting and then we'll crack on with the body of the episode?
With the content, yes.
Yes.
Right, Jerry, we've got some options. So
yeah,
the plan for this episode was to do forgotten winners from the 80s and the 90s. Now, I went through and I picked out two from the 80s and two from the 90s, where I was like, nah, I don't know that. Actually, as I suspected, I think our knowledge of the 80s and 90s is pretty strong.
Yeah.
But that's only four songs. So we could do that. We can do four songs. Or I went back, I did the 70s, and there were four songs in the 70s that I didn't recognise. So we could do them as well. We could do eight songs this episode. What do you want to do, Jerry?
It's a good, I mean, where are we? We're half an hour in with our
antics.
Insane content at the beginning of the episode. So what if, I mean, we could do the four from the 80s and 90s, because then it just gives us more scope to go back in more episodes to get back to. Because, you know, should we go backwards? Because then if we get to like 80, the one for 83, which also I might know 89, Rock Me.
Oh, okay.
I feel like I know that one, but I don't know. We'll find out. We'll find out when we get to it, because I might not. But why don't we go backwards?
Yes.
Do those four and then see where we're at. And see how
lovely, yeah. And if we're bored after 83, then spoiler alert. Then we'll stop. And if we're not, we'll keep going. We'll keep going. Right. Yeah. Let me get up. I'm just getting this up for you, sir. Let me get up the list of the winners in its entirety, and we'll work backwards, and then we will, like, a bit like the top 20, and then we'll be like, and this is the song we're gonna play.
I'll put a little I'll put some music underneath. Put our little montage music underneath.
Okay, I need to try and make this like a countdown then. No problem. Winners by year. So we're starting from 2000, 1999. Yep. Lovely. 1999, Take Me to Your Heaven by Charlotte Nielsen for Sweden. In 1998, I mean, an absolute classic. Who could not forget?
Yeah.
Who could not forget? Who could not forget? Moving on. 1998, it's Dana International with Diva for Israel. You'll remember that.
Or it's actually her backing singer.
Yeah, old Tubbs.
It's not her.
1997, Love Shine a Light by somebody called Katrina and the Waves. Never heard of them.
Never heard of them.
1996, Jerry's favourite, The Voice, by Eimear Quinn from Ireland. Eimear, is that how you pronounce it? Don't think so.
Well, she doesn't deserve her name said correctly, throwing all that Celtic nonsense at us.
Zeitgeist. 1995, Norway won with Nocturne by Secret Garden. I do not remember this song.
Nope.
Absolutely. So let's pause here, listen to it, and give our sage thoughts on the matter.
Yes. See you on the other side, so
to speak. Oh, yes.
I was just going to say the sort of going fast and loose with the word song.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful piece of music, but I think she sang for a total of 20 seconds.
Yeah.
At the beginning and the end.
Also, basically, it was Norway being Ireland. This is obviously in the period where Ireland won every year. This is the one year that Ireland didn't win, and it was Norway pretending they were Irish.
Yeah. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful piece of music. Mm-hmm. It is beautiful. Because what are the rules? Do you have to, because you know we were joking last week about somebody coming on and just being silent for 3 minutes.
Yeah. Do you have to sing?
Obviously they weren't. Yeah. Does there have to be music? As in, not music. Does there have to be like song or do they refer to it as just a piece of music? You could do anything for... And obviously it won, so...
Yeah, I mean, I imagine there's got to be some singing, otherwise they wouldn't have bothered having her there at all. yes. But
poor woman.
There was some... the tin was so... It was so Irish, anyway. My particular favourite was...
Didn't the guy that played the tin whistle look a little bit like a sort of Paul McCartney sibling?
Yes. I mean, it was quite look-alike-y. So there was also the woman playing the violin looked like... I've just drawn a blank. That's annoying. Glenn Close in the Bunny Boiler film.
Yes, in...
Fatal Attraction.
That's it.
It's the hair. And then also the woman playing violin / accordion. What the fuck was that?
Yeah.
I mean, off her tits. Off her tits.
Yeah.
Like... Yeah. So middle distance, like she's like grinning into the middle distance. So there was a moment, smacked off.
There was a moment where she sort of came round a little bit. And there was a moment of sort of panic where she was like, where the fuck am I? And then she just carried on.
So, yeah, I'm thinking that's Sarah from Ireland's mother.
That's where she was conceived.
Yes. In that moment.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, Love City Groove were robbed.
Yes.
Robbed.
Yes,
That one.
Yeah.
We had rap.
Yeah.
We brought rap to Eurovision.
Europe wasn't ready.
It was not.
Europe wasn't ready for it.
It was not. In fact, a rap song has never won Eurovision.
No. Until now. No, I don't.
Oh, the year
I don't know what's going on.
I can't rap.
And the thing is, I was definitely watching this one.
Yeah?
Because I was definitely watching this one at home with the family because all of these, it was like a huge thing. I think the last one that I watched at home was probably 98. But yeah, I was definitely at home watching this. Do not remember this at all. But I remember Love City Groove, obviously.
Yes.
But
I think it's just shrouded by my disappointment.
Yes.
And the only reason I know all the other ones... that, you know, beat us in the 90s, is because they're Ireland and we've done a show on Ireland, so.
Yeah, exactly.
So we've looked at them all already. I've refreshed my memory. Opened the scars.
Martin.
Yeah, we'll get on to her. So, continuing. So, we're going down Island Row now. So, 1994, Ireland won with Rock and Roll Kids. Awful song. Mm. In 1993, Ireland won with In Your Eyes by Niamh Campbell. I mean, that's their best win, I think. I love that one.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, Johnny Logan's win. Anyway. In 1992, guess who won? Ireland with Linda fucking Martin. Why her?
Why Linda?
1991, Sweden won with Carola Fangadavan Stormvind.
Excellent song.
It is an excellent song. 1990, Italy won, and it was Toto Cutugno with Insieme. 1992, how do you say that in Italian? I don't know this one. Do you?
Nope.
We better listen to
not
it.
Not at all.
Stat. No, pronto. That's better to tickle you. Gah!
Pronto.
Pronto. That would have been funny if I'd come out with that first.
Let's go.
It's
like they grabbed some people off the street to come and be backing singers.
I literally was going to say the exact same thing.
They're just, yeah. Where's the uniform, guys? yeah, it's, I mean, he was feeling that song and...
I'm glad someone was.
And Insieme, is that like united or allied or together or something? Were they talking about the Olympics? Because, like, what does...
1992? The Olympics were in Spain in 1992. Yeah. So.
But, you know, maybe they wanted to do really well. What else was happening in 92? Was there a vote about... I mean, the Channel Tunnel was going to open in a year. What was...
Oh, okay. So, Cutugno sang about bringing the disparate nations of Europe together. The 1992 of the title refers to the year in which the European Union was scheduled to begin operation, thus bringing the hope of the lyric to fruition.
That cuts deep now. That cuts deep.
Yeah, in CMA 2016, you know what I'm saying?
Unite Europe, that's what I say. He's very passionate, and I think that it was a case of... judges wanted to visit Italy the next year.
Yeah, I mean, guess who came second? Ireland. So, yeah. Oh no, or did France? No, joint with France. Yeah, we came sixth with a song I've never heard of. We so Emma with "Give a Little Love Back to the World." Never heard of it.
Oh no, yeah, I remember that. I do remember it. I don't believe it's that good. It's not,
we were not robbed.
No, it's not sort of Josh Dubovy levels from 2010. But I feel like every 10 years, you know, I mean, I can't even say we have a slump because we haven't even come out of the slump. So, but yeah.
No. But we're about to come out of the embers.
Yeah, we are. Climbing
out. Yeah.
Yeah, still don't remember that song. I've forgotten it now as well. And it's...
Yeah, like, I couldn't sing it to you.
It's like... Four minutes ago.
Yeah. Yeah, he looked like he was on his way to audition for a one-line part in Miami Vice.
Yes.
And the backing singers, I mean, they just are so disparate. It's comical. And also, I mean, this is going to make me sound really judgy, but you know, like, performers sort of have a look about them.
Yeah.
They don't look like necessarily like... average Joe on the street.
No.
Just because you're sort of made to not look like average Joe on the street because it's sort of what the public expects. Well, they didn't live up to the expectations of the public. They were just like, this is how I look. I don't need to wear makeup.
Also, I don't understand what Derek was doing with their where he made them stand, because he put like the two women on the end and then the three men. Like, surely you've mixed them up. But was it that they'd literally just learnt it and she was like, I'm not going to remember my harmony unless I'm next to Brenda. So you gotta leave me there. Because it just looked really odd. They were sort of going in height order and just wearing whatever the fuck they wanted.
I know, like, no costuming at all.
No, it's Eurovision.
But, and all of that would be fine, except it won.
I know.
How shit was that year? Like, part of me is like, we need to do like a rewatch of 1990.
Yeah.
But then part of me is like, if that's what won, that's a painful rewatch. Well, that's 22 songs of pain.
Yeah, that we can't get that time back. We'd just be closer to death. But I'm putting it on the list. I'm putting it on the list. 1990, 2001. They're the ones that we're rewatching.
It's on the list. Well, back to the countdown. 1989. We're straight back in. Rock Me. You Think You Remember It? I've never heard of it, babe. That was Yugoslavia. The one time that they won. Of course, they never will again because they don't exist anymore. And it was Rock Me, performed by Riva.
Let's go have a listen. That's not it. That was just me. It's just me riffing, babe.
Love it. Love the riff. Love the riff.
Let's go. Oh, 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 rock me, baby. Be a badass guy, rock me, baby. Some money from there, rock me, baby. Had everything that you need in the Eurovision song. It had a key change, it had a strong finish. The 80s energy of it was intense.
Oh, like pyramid earrings, wide shoulders, like dancing with guitars and white jackets, everything.
It was, I do remember it. And I think it's because the sort of, it feels really sort of, Agadoo. It's got a whole Agadoo feel about it. And I think it was just, that's what I remember about it.
Yeah.
But also, we came second that year.
We did. We had a really classy entry. And and we came second to Agadoo. But yeah, also, you know, beating the UK into second place. Peak Eurovision.
Yeah. So all the cool cats did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not... That is a whole era of Eurovision in itself, that song. And it's, I think it's why the 80s gave up and went, nah, I'm going to become the 90s now.
Yeah, because I can't do anymore.
I cannot do anymore.
My shoulders can get no wider. My earrings can get no bigger. The neon can shine no brighter. I must be the 90s. Obviously, we'll link the songs. I mean, I don't know about you, but my copy of it was quite blurry.
Yeah, I don't think it's aged well.
It's like a little musical time capsule.
So the year before was Celine, right?
Correct.
And that is a banger. Like, it's, you've gone from that, which is this amazing standard sung by an amazing singer, soaring the heights, and then you've got Rock Me Baby
over and over again. Like, it's just, I mean, there's a little bit of sort of Yugoslavian verse in there, but it's essentially just Rock Me Baby, and now I'll sing it again. Rock me baby. I'll sing it one more time. Rock me baby. What did I hear you say? Said Rock Me Baby. Surely that's enough. No, Rock Me Baby. Have you finished yet? No, Rock Me Baby. Will you shoot me? Well, I'll rock you, baby.
Yes. Yeah, we should do that. I wish that was in our Ultimate Eurovision.
Next time. And then you've got Insieme the year after that. So you've got two really sort of off-piste years before Fangad.
Yeah, good Lord. Okay.
Or is it and Fjangad? It's got like a little thing over the A. Is it Fjangad?
Yeah. I don't know how they say that.
Listeners from Sweden, please let us know what we're doing. Jesus.
Yeah. Let us know. Thank you. For the love of all European language, let us know how to say it.
So 1988, as you correctly identified, was Celine with Ne Partez Pas Sans Moi. And then in 1987, we had old Johnny Logan from Ireland with Hold Me Now. 1986, Sandra Kim, J'aime la vie. 1985, we had the Bobby Sox with A La Dead Swing. See, this is like the purple patch. 1984, Diggy Lou, Diggy Lay from Sweden.
Such a good song.
It is such a good song. 1983, we've got C'est la vie et que deux by Corinne Hermé from Luxembourg. I don't remember this at all.
No, not a clue.
Well, we better listen. We better listen hard.
And then come back here.
Talk things about it, yeah. So professional.
Right. She sang at the end.
It felt like Derek had got the count wrong and someone had whispered in his ear, you know, it's 3 minutes, you've got 10 seconds left. He's like, wrap it up. So she had to like improvise, like she was mid-song, and then just improvise this weird ending. Ooh, end.
And then, but like a note that wasn't anything to do. It wasn't even like finishing on a jazzy chord. It was just a random at the end. What was that?
Yeah. I think there was meant to be a big note, and I think she missed it.
So again, Derek is trying something in the 80s with the backing singers that he likes to put all the men together and all the ladies together. Ladies.
Yes, yeah, just the men in pink.
Yeah, men in pink, women in black, ooh, separate them. And then obviously when we got to the 90s, he was like, no, women in between the men. Let's mix it up.
Mm-hmm.
Did you spot the little short backing singer on the far left when they did a shot of her and they weren't singing at that point, but you could just see him and he looked like this was the last place on earth he wanted to be. He was just like,
I didn't notice.
He was like, oh God.
She's going to mess up the final notes.
She did it in
rehearsal. We're going to be a fucking laughing stock.
She did it in rehearsal.
She just like, just take it down, babe. Don't go for it. Like, because then you have to come up with something else on the spot and it never sounds good.
It never works.
Just come up with something that you can actually sing. Why are you being Idina Menzel about this?
It was just... But also, like, it had a sort of a sort of Bondy feel in places.
Yes, I was going to say that. There's like a little refrain at the end of each chorus, which is and it's a Bond song.
Yeah,
I quite enjoyed that.
Yeah,
I mean, I have to say, overall, apart from the end and the fact that it's pretty dated, especially her pink shell suit.
Yeah.
I quite enjoyed it. I wouldn't say it was a winner, but I liked it.
I enjoyed the song. I felt she was really nervous.
Which is probably why she missed the note.
Yeah, she didn't quite have the pipes for it. But, I mean, obviously she did because she won. So what were we in 83? Was that the year that we had the three women with the bright bleached hair? And the ones where we got...
Yes, the Tom Kitten of the 80s.
Where they got booed because they got accused of lip syncing.
Oh yes, controversy. Yes, and they came sixth.
Yeah,
and Israel came second with Hi.
Hey, yeah.
And Corolla came third.
Yes,
Corolla was the year she entered with Framling.
Yeah, yes.
Now, I mean, miss the note or not, Corinne can't sing better than Corolla.
No,
yeah. When was Linda Martin Terminal 3 Flights on Time?
She 83 or 84?
Oh, she wasn't. she's not in this brand. Ireland didn't compete this year for some reason.
So it was 84. I was going to say, because if Terminal 3 was it, if Terminal 3 didn't win against this, then that is criminal.
Yeah.
But no.
No, Ireland didn't compete that year.
Wow. Just had enough. Couldn't be asked.
Yeah.
It's going to give it a rest.
Well, like, well, we put in Terminal 3 and it didn't win. So what else are we going to do?
Yeah. Soldier. Yeah, I did quite like the song. I understand why it won. It is very much like with all of these of their time. But yeah, wow. I'm still not over that last note.
Wow. It was going so well for her, bless her. So well, until just the last sort of 10 seconds. And she just was like, oh, no. It's like, because I think she went for a note before the last note, missed that horrifically, and then was like, oh, I've got to redo the whole ending now. And her improv skills aren't up to scratch, basically.
Is this note in the chord? Doesn't matter. I'm doing it anyway.
I'll just shove shitloads of vib on it and no one will know. Well, we did.
I might try and remember to, maybe I'll put that in as the little clip, the bit at the end.
Linda Martin, Flights on Time. What year was it? Was it 92? It was 84.
84.
Oh, I just saw a little picture of her doing it has popped up. Yeah. I mean, it's just peak 1984 with her massive red hair, like her Anita Dobson hair and all the shoulders.
Yeah.
It's just such the most amazingly ridiculous song. I mean, this, ladies and gentlemen, is an artist, because in 1992, I want her dead.
Yeah.
But in 1984, she's amazing.
Yeah, can't get enough of her. Cannot get enough of her. You know, and then she just lost it by how dare she beat Michael Ball? Just how dare
1 point,
she?
People. 1 point.
The audacity.
1 point.
Audacity.
You think after 4 seasons we'd have got over it a little bit? Nope.
No.
It'll be the 30th anniversary next year. We should do something.
We should definitely do something.
For the 30th anniversary of the greatest travesty of Eurovision.
I'm going to get some t-shirts made up just saying Linda fucking Martin on them. And then yes, why you on the back.
Oh, maybe we'll be able to do a Eurovision live show next year.
Yeah.
And if we can, that will be the show. The 30th anniversary of the greatest tragedy in Eurovision.
Can we get
Linda? And we'll invite them both.
I was going to say, can we get Linda and Michael? Like, they're a couple.
Right, guys, do over. Let's sing our stuff again. Let's have a recount.
Can we also get them to sing each other's songs as well? Just to mix it up. I'm actually, this is going to happen. The BBC better not nick this fucking idea. Be livid.
Oh,
No, they don't care about Linda Martin.
They don't. You have to care about Eurovision to want to do this.
Yeah. And look, we do care about Linda Martin and Michael Ball, so that's why
we do. Yeah, in a pantomime villain kind of way.
Yeah.
You know, in 1984 she played the hero, and we loved her. And in 1992 she played the pantomime villain. We love her still, but in that role.
Yeah. Do you know what that is though? That's misogyny, because like she had to play the villain because she got older. And that's like, you know, that's parts for women all over, isn't it?
Classic.
No longer the ingenue, has to play the bad guy.
No. Yeah.
And beat the hero.
There's no nice older women.
No, we're all hags. yes. Well.
Yeah. Virgins, whores or witches. You're welcome.
And I've been all three.
Sometimes in one day.
1 hour. Right. Yeah. So, I mean.
Right. So, we can either stop the episode there or we could do another 4 songs.
I mean, it might be quite a lot to do for. I've got Delirious.
4 more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's stop. We'll do the 70s. I'd say the 70s and the 60s, but so there's 4 songs for the 70s. But then the 60s, for example, 1969, Lulu won.
Yep.
But 3 other songs won. I don't know any of them.
Yeah.
So, like, there's 3 just from 1 year. So yeah. I think when we do the 60s and the 70s, it will be epic. So what we need to do is we need to not fuck around for the first half of the show.
Yeah.
Being idiots.
Yeah.
We need to, like, whiz through the weekly stuff and get on with it.
Yeah, business. Business, business, business.
I love how we're putting this in the podcast.
I know. Listen, guys, this is how professional we're going to be next week, and we've told you for accountability.
You can tweet us when we don't do any of those things, and you're listening to an episode that's 2 hours long.
We're just getting angry about nothing to do with Eurovision. We should say as well, by the time this episode comes out, all those involved in Ultimate Eurovision should have received an email by the time this comes out. So it is exciting, and we are excited. So, keep an eye on your inboxes.
Yeah, we're looking forward to getting cracking on that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to wait until the Thursday before we do it to get everything done, because I love that kind of stress.
So that's what I mean. I hate it, but I am the same, and I will do the same. I
just love the deadline pressure. If I've got time, I don't know what I'm doing. I need that deadline and to give you a stressed phone call where I just go, I don't know how I'm going to have time. I don't know how I'm going to have time. And then it's like, oh, actually, no, I've done it. It's fine. I've had a word with myself. I've had a pan au chocolat. I'm fine. Because that's the way that we roll.
It is. It is. And actually, to be fair, I was the one who had that phone conversation with you earlier today. So maybe that's our one for the year done.
Hopefully.
Maybe
it's our one for the year. Stick it off. I'll cross it off the list. Meltdown. Tick.
Had meltdown, decided that Eurovision is not the same as saving the planet. It will all be all right.
It will be fine.
Although, tell that to WWF.
Well, quite. Oh, nice.
You're welcome.
God, we are professional.
Right? We brought it all the way back.
It's like we planned this. Jesus.
I mean, it is semi-written, guys. What? You write this shit? Sort of, yeah.
In our brains. That made no sense. Right, okay, before we completely lose the plot, shall we say goodbye to the lovely...
Yes, we're going to go and write our Eurovision, Ultimate Eurovision, Fantasy Eurovision, what is it called? The other thing we're doing is emails. Yes. That's what we're going to do. Yep. But it's been lovely to chat. We're sorry it's been a mad one, but I sometimes feel that our mad ones are our best ones.
Same.
I hope you agree. Well, if you don't agree, you're not going to hear this, so because you turned off a long time ago.
Exactly.
Even the most stalwart of you gave up when we started going on about Linda fucking Martin.
They're like, oh, not again. I'll look at the stats and see where people switched off. Oh, in sort of, an hour in. That's where they switched off. Perfect. All right, then. Well, it's been a pleasure as always. And
as always,
we shall speak to you again next week. Goodbye.
Au revoir. Voilà.
Are you going to work, you piece of shit?